Now what I'm going to do with you. Let's go back to sleep. Wake up in the next life, maybe. Maybe wake up in the next life. Going into sleep mode. Robotic mode. Huh? You know the robotic mode? Waking up, you know, drinking something, eating something, going to work, you know, going back home, eating something, sleeping. Huh? That's robotic mode. Not being aware of anything. So, what am I going to talk about? Huh? Just for a little bit of understanding, there was a question about, yeah, I mean, the citta, yeah. We cannot observe the citta, yeah. That you should be aware of that, yeah. You can experience the citta or the knowingness, yeah, when you go into apana samadhi, when everything ceases to exist, yeah. Apana samadhi or the preview of nibbana, that is experience the citta, yeah. But it is one moment you dive in and the next moment you dive out, yeah. There is no time, there is no space, there is no nothing. There is just pure knowingness. And this pure knowingness doesn't know any objects, yeah. When we talk about the defiled citta, then of course we can observe whatever comes into the citta, yeah. The citta itself, you know, the defiled citta, you can think about the citta, yeah, being a huge cake, yeah. And then avijja takes a part of the cake, builds a wall around it, so that we find ourselves, you know, I mean, lonely, yeah, singled out, even if we are with our loved ones or, you know, with our family, relative, we are still feeling, you know, separated from others, yeah. That's what avijja does. Once avijja is gone, we become part of the cake again. You understand that? Okay. Yeah. So, once we get rid of avijja, then we are part of the eternity, yeah? Because that is what eternity is, yeah? There is no future, there is no past, there is just eternity. Nobody can imagine what eternity is, and so don't even bother to think about it. Hello, good morning. Maybe you get some new batteries for your watch, huh? Huh? Coming so late, huh? In Pali, vicha is knowing, avicha is not knowing. Yeah? So a good definition for avicha is not knowing, not being able to know, huh? Not being able to understand, but also the wanting to know. Yeah? It's the will where there is the will. Wanting to know, yeah. I mean, that's why we look up always, you know, on Google, all these things, you know, on all these websites, yeah. We want to know, yeah. We can't get rid of, you know, wanting to understand, yeah. So that is what avijja is, you know, but it cannot understand in line with the truth, yeah. Because it cannot know about itself. Avijja is, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, you find the definition of complete ignorance, yeah, or fundamental ignorance, yeah. But that doesn't explain, yeah, it doesn't explain everything. Avijja is not knowing, yeah, wanting to know but not being able to know, you know, wanting to understand but not being able to understand. Avijja itself, you know, as I explained, is the mastermind behind everything. I mean, he separates you out from the rest of the world, yeah? So that you feel lonely, you feel separate from each other. It has three armies, avijja, yeah? I mean, it needs three armies, yeah? It's greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah? Within these armies, there are the soldiers. These are called the kilesa, yeah? And don't think of the kilesas as defilements, as it often is translated, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah? What is defilement, huh? Kilesas, you know, are the soldiers that keep you in check, yeah? Keep you in the prison, yeah? If you want to get out of the prison, you know, they will create some pain and some suffering, yeah? As long as you're in their prison, yeah, as long as you do what they say, just like when your wife tells you, you know, you do what I say, you know, then you can be my husband, yeah, or the same. Same holds true for the other side. And if you don't do this, she will imprison you. Okay, anyway, so that is the way. So these three armies, greed, hatred, we talked about a lot, about our super practice, how to get rid of greed and hate, But we haven't even gotten rid of the delusion yet, Greed and hate are in forefront, when you look at, army, there's always, two armies in front, and the one that pushes the two armies, And the one that pushes the army of greed and hate is delusion, Delusion is not really understanding, what is going on, And they always push greed and hate in front, so that's what we normally see. And we cannot really work on delusion unless there's greed and hate are eliminated. And once we eliminate greed and hate, and I talked about it, quite a bit, how we can eliminate greed and hate, Have you done it already? Then we struggle with delusion, And delusion is a little bit more difficult to struggle with, It is, when we go back to greed and hate, it is rooted within the body. Delusion is rooted within in sankhara and sanya, in memory, association and thoughts. They are so quickly combined, intertwined, so that we cannot, we have to rip them apart, to get rid of delusion. When you look at Lungta Mahabua, about his training, for 5 years he was in samadhi every day, He tried to go into deep samadhi every day and he managed it, Sometimes it took him an hour, sometimes it took him 11 hours before he can enter Apana Samadhi, But he did it every day for 5 years until Lumpuman said, that's enough, now get out and do some work, So he did the investigation of the body. Within 8 months he was finished because, his sati was just like a laser beam, cutting through everything within minutes, But then he said, to get rid of delusion, and it took him 2.5 years. It was so intertwined, it's so intermingled, it was so difficult to get rid of it, I listened to or prepared all of the talks that he gave to the monks, and there's only one or two talks, where he talked about how to rip apart delusion. Mostly he talked about asupa, how to get rid of greed and hate. And then he was stunned, and now he thought, okay, now it is all finished. But, there was still the avijja, There was the mastermind behind it. And I said, Lumpuman died already, he passed away already, so he couldn't ask anybody, how to deal with avijja, And it took him 3 months, to understand the nature of avijja and to overcome it, So this is what you need to understand, the most of the time you just fight with greed and hate, With the kilesas, they constantly push greed and hate in front of you. I want this, I want this, I like this, I don't like this, I need this, I don't need this, I want to become this, I want to become that, That's what you see most of the time, Probably 24 hours a day. In your dreams, you dream about something, and so on. Now, when we talk, I talked about, avijja, sealing off a part of the eternal citta, and making us single. But then, you know, the citta, then I also explained, you know, you can view the citta as a diamond, you know, who has a lot of facets, yeah? And these facets we develop every life, you know, we develop some, yeah? We make them bigger, yeah? Some abilities, you know, learning to meditate is one ability, you know, we make it bigger. And some abilities, you know, maybe they're unwholesome, we decrease, yeah? So the facet changes in each, from each lifetime we change these facets, or we call it characteristic tendencies, yeah? You can see them as facets on the diamond, yeah? So this is what we think is me, is mine, is myself, yeah? My characteristic tendencies. But they change, yeah? I mean, when you were young, yeah? I mean, when you were 18, you know, I think, you know, the whole world is yours, yeah? Every one of us remembers it, you know. We can change the world, yeah? And then we realize we're 30, you know, there's nothing that we can change. Because we changed, yeah? Our idealism, you know, changed, yeah? I mean, I remember when I was 18, you know, probably some of you as well, you know, there was the Vietnam War, you know, and we were young, yeah? And we went against the Vietnam War, you know, about the U.S., you know, intervening there in the Vietnam War, and we went on demonstration, Ho Chi Minh, Ho Chi Minh, Ho Chi Minh. I mean, that's us, you know, I mean, complete idealists, you know. Or then later on, Mao Zedong, Mao Zedong. Yeah, at that time we were pretty much against the U.S., you know, in their intervention, yeah. Nowadays, you know, I mean, most of the people, you know, just, yeah, follow it, yeah. Whatever the U.S. does. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. It's too sad of a story, yeah. Some people call, you know, the U.S. the biggest terrorist state in the world, yeah? Because wherever they go, you know, just terror, yeah? You know, look at Myanmar, what they are doing, you know, upheaval, you know, I mean, constant problems, you know, I mean, constant upheaval, yeah? And now in Taiwan, you know, yeah? I mean, they put, you know, put arms in Taiwan, you know? I mean, they are two-faced, you know, like the Red Indian said, you know, they have a split tongue, yeah? With one piece, you know, they say, okay, one China policy, you know, Taiwan is part of China. And the other hand, you know, they sell weapons to Taiwan and put soldiers into Taiwan, you know, and ask the Taiwanese to get independent of China, yeah? Ukraine, the same thing, No, don't talk about this. You know, let's go back. to the Kilesa. To Avita. Yeah, so, see, I mean, there is, you know, when you look at your life, you know, when you were 18, that's where it went off a little bit, yeah. When we were 18, you know, we had certain ideas, you know. But over the time, you know, in the last 20 or 30 years, it changed a lot, yeah? So that means our diamond, you know, the facets have changed, you know, some were more developed, some were less developed, yeah? And this is the qualities that is our personality. So you cannot even say that your personality is always constant, yeah? It constantly changes. With each experience that we do, our personality changes. We take in the experience, we learn something. Most of the people don't learn anything, you know, but some of us, yeah, especially the people who are here, you know, they want to learn, you know, but they see sometimes it's too tough to learn, you know. But anyway, so our personality changes over the time, yeah. So, to say, you know, to use the Christian term, the soul, you know, that is a fixed personality, goes from life to life, it's completely wrong, yeah? I mean, the personality, all the abilities that we have developed, yeah, will go into the next life, be it good qualities or be it bad qualities, yeah? And that is what comes, you know, what created the karma that we are then experiencing in our next life, yeah? So the more good qualities or wholesome qualities we develop, the better we are off in the next life, yeah? So that is important for you to understand, That's why you have to develop the sati to know what is going on. Why am I doing this? Huh? What is the result of my doing and what am I doing? Yeah? And that is so difficult. Yeah, now think about it. Yeah, now think about it. Yeah. So and this changes, you know, and in each life, you know, I mean, we are more developed when we go, you know, when we go until the rest of our life, you know, practice meditation, you know, and are only interested in one thing, to develop our wholesome nature, yeah, and go into the right direction. Then this will be at the end of our life, goes into the next life, yeah. It will take on some old karma, you know, from the previous lives, you know, but, you know, most of it, you know, comes into our next life when we become human beings, yeah. I mean, you might forget some things, you know, when you're in hell for a while, you know, or you might even forget something, you know, when you're in heaven for a while, yeah. We tend to forget, you know, I mean, of all our troubles, of all our abilities, you know, when we are off in a far place, you know, when it is especially in heaven, when it is very nice, yeah? Then we forget, you know, I mean, all the trouble that we had as a human being. And when in hell, you know, we forget, you know, we tend to forget also things, yeah? So, that's why, you know, sometimes, for instance, me, you know, being a monk in the next life, you know, I'm not a monk anymore, you know, I'm just a lay people, you know, trying to enjoy life until I hit so much dukkha that I said, oh, there was something. What was it? there was some meditation or Buddhism, you know, and then towards the end of my life, I said, oh, you should go there. And then in the life after that, you know, I might become a monk again, you know. And that's why it takes so much time, yeah? There's so much time, and that's why they say, you know, it takes eons of lifetimes to become an arahant. Because one time you become a monk or a nun or whatever, you know, and then, so hard, it's so tough, let's enjoy life, you know, and then the next life, you know, we enjoy life, and then, towards the end, no, that is not right. And then next life, you become a monk again, and then the same thing, you know. We go forth, and then we go back, and then we go forth, and then back. And that's why the Lord Buddha called asneya, you know. We go forth a step, you know, and then we go two steps backwards, and we go forth one step, and then two steps backwards, you know, and that's why he called us asneya, you know. We have the potential. Open your ears. Yeah? Put them out, you know, put your antennas out, you know. We have the potential. Yeah? Every one of us, you know, sitting here, have the potential. For some people it is easy, for some people it is very difficult. We have the potential to go in the right direction, yeah? And some of us might even, you know, go straight to the door of Sotapanna, yeah? Or even enter Sotapanna, yeah? We do have the potential, yeah? So it is up to us, you know, to make the most out of this life, yeah? When you think about religion, yeah? I mean, about Buddhism. We are going through a lot of phases, yeah? The first phase is the kindergarten, where we see pictures of the Buddha, you know, where he walks, you know, where he gives a sermon, and, you know, and it is all nice, you know. So, yeah? And we go to kindergarten for life after life after life until we want to know a little bit more. And then we study the suttas, you know. Then we go to primary school, you know, where we study the suttas, then we go to secondary school or high school, you know, and towards the end of the high school we start with meditation, yeah, because then we understand the teaching of the Lord Buddha so much that we need, you know, then we can actually start meditation, yeah. And then it takes life after life after life doing meditation, yeah, because it's not easy, yeah. That's the same. So some of the Buddhist schools, you know, are just kindergarten, you know, some of them are primary school, some of them high school, you know, and only a few are, you know, are forest universities. I mean, Lungta Mahabo called his own, yeah, forest universities with 4 degrees, yeah. Sotapanna Sakadagami Anagami Arahant, yeah. And if you haven't crossed, you know, high school, you cannot go to university, yeah. It's just like in this life, yeah? So it's a long, long time, you know. And when I see it, you know, I mean, you're trying at least to meditate. At least, you know, you're either at the end, you know, of high school, you know, or in the middle of the high school, you know, and maybe you can cross over to the university, yeah? I mean, that is up to you. I cannot say it, you know. I mean, this is what you know, yeah? I mean, the more drive you have to go this way, yeah? And the more you want, you know, you want only this, you want the results, yeah? And the better, the closer you are to university, huh? Yeah? But university, you know, yeah, I mean, it's not easy. you're pretty much on your own, yeah? Huh? Huh? I mean, even in high school, you have teachers, you know, you have to attend the classes, you know, but in university, it's pretty much, at least at my time, it was pretty much free. You want to attend to the class or don't attend to the class. You want to take the exam or don't want to take the exam or take it in the next semester or so on. Yeah? Yeah? And that's the same thing with the Forest University. Yeah? I mean, it's up to the people. Yeah? They have to have self-discipline. That's why in the Forest University, you know, I mean, monks, you know, All lay people who stay there don't meditate together in groups. Everybody meditates on its own, yeah? And he's responsible if he meditates only 3 hours or 12 hours or 16 hours or 18 hours, yeah, a day, yeah? So and that is quite some discipline that you need, yeah? You understand that? Huh? For myself, when I went to the monastery, all I'd wanted to do, you know, actually when I left my job, you know, it took me, 89. I started 89 with the first meditation course. I told you, you know, after 10 minutes, my head was down on the floor. Oh, I can't do that. And then, you know, over time, you know, I became more and more, yeah, after one and a half years, yeah. 1.5 years, you know, I was able to enter Upachara Samadhi, yeah? And then I said, okay, that's it. Yeah? Now I quit my job, yeah? And then I went into homelessness, yeah? And I went to England, you know, in Germany, listened to this teacher, listened to that teacher, yeah? Until I became dissatisfied with the teaching there because it didn't lead to the end, yeah? And then I went to Thailand, yeah? But all this time I was interested, yeah? Really. The only thing I had in mind, yeah, I mean, from 1989, yeah, from 1989 to 2009, it's probably, 2009, or was it even later, I wasn't interested in what is happening to the world. No interest at all. I was only interested, am I with my Buddha or not with my Buddha? Oh, I did the breath. Am I with my breath or not with the breath? Yeah, I mean, what do I do now, you know, and so on and so on. Yeah? And so when I came to Wat Pho Pantat, the same thing, yeah. 12 hours was the minimum of meditation, yeah. How many hours have you done? 12 hours, 18 hours was the maximum, yeah. I mean, 19 hours, yeah. Got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and meditated until 11 when I didn't go out to eat, yeah. And then had a short break, you know, and then meditated until 9 or 11 o'clock, yeah. So I had only two or three hours of sleep, yeah. Yeah. That is power, yeah. Now I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, there are certain, you know, certain limit, you know, I mean, once you get older, you know, I mean, yeah. But at that time, you know, I mean, when I ordained as a bhikkhu, 38, you know, I still had a lot of power, yeah. I was running up the hills, you know, going on Bindabad, you know, running up the hills, running down, you know. But three, four years, you know, ago, you know, I mean, yeah. No power anymore. But it kept me, you know. There was one motivation, and that is what every one of you needs, yeah. There's one motivation that was holding true for me, yeah. Do you want to be reborn? And the answer was instantly no. Okay, then you have to go through it. Yeah? No matter what is happening, you have to go through it, yeah. That was the motivation. Yeah? If you don't have this motivation, so tiresome. Let's go and sleep, you know. Lungdama Habo said, you know, Machima Patipada, the middle way of practice is not the middle of your cushion where you put your head on. But he was good, he was always checking on us, yeah? At least twice a day, you know? One time he came by, you know, every day at the Kuti, you know, at least twice, you know, to check if you do meditation or walking meditation or sitting meditation. One time, normally he came up in the morning, you know, around 5 or 6 o'clock, you know, and then he thought, I caught him sleeping. He ripped off, you know, I mean, because the Kutis didn't have any doors or windows or things, just a curtain. So ripped off the curtain, yeah. I was waking up, you know, I was sitting, you know, I was astonished because I was falling sleeping, you know, and he was surprised, I was surprised, because he thought he caught me sleeping, yeah, and then he saw me sitting, okay. But he checked, you know, he really checked, you know, I mean, that gives you motivation. You know, he's coming, you know, he's coming, you better sit, you know, or you better walk, yeah. Okay, anything that you want to know, yeah?
Thank you for sharing us your experience leading up to ordination and, you know, in your years of training. Really appreciate that sharing. I think also in the introduction to this retreat, there was a bit of a mention about years spent in cave meditation.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you be able to share us?
No. It comes out, if people have the merit to hear it, then it will come out. If the people don't have the merit to hear it, and sometimes, you know, it's not, yeah. I mean, I love solitary retreat, yeah. I don't like to be with other people, you know, I'm just disturbing, yeah. No, I like to be alone, you know, and caves, you know, are very, very good, you know, for practicing. But caves are only for me to practice, you know, during the dry time, yeah. Once it gets wet in the cave, you know, I mean, I can't breathe, yeah. So it that is a physical hindrance for me, yeah. So I mean, I spent 4 or 5 months, you know, in a cave, you know, and then came back to Wat Papantat, yeah. I always wanted to go back, you know. I mean, sometimes I had questions, you know. During the cave, there was some experience, you know. Then you came back and paid your respect to Lungda Mahabo and then asked the question, you know, how can I deal with this problem, how can I deal with that problem, yeah? And before you went, you know, I mean, you asked for permission to go, you know, and he asked you, where are you going? Ah, okay, this is a good place, you know, okay, yeah? You go alone? Yeah, that's good, yeah. For some people, you know, they cannot go alone, they need companions, yeah? I mean, it was the same with Lumpuman, you know. I mean, Lumpuman sometimes didn't allow the monks to go by themselves, but for Lungda, he always allowed. Ah, okay, good. Or sometimes, you know, when he needed him, he said, ah, it's good to go, it's good to stay, it's better to stay. Then he wanted him to stay in the monastery, yeah, to keep track of the other monks there. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, there's one in behind. Yeah?
I was meditating on this mat, so after a while, I shifted my attention to the point where the cells come from.
Where's what comes up from?
I was doing mantra meditation.
What?
Mantra meditation.
What mantra did you use?
Buddha.
Oh, okay.
Then after a while. My attention to the point where the cell came up from.
Yeah.
And then after a while, the Buddha started to die down and it stopped.
Yeah.
And there was this shift in my psyche. And there was a watcher on the riverbank looking at the torrents of inclinations, thoughts, and emotions, but I wasn't affected by it. So I just saw it arise, disband, and pass away.
Yeah.
So
your question, is it the right way? No, it's not the right way. I mean, I told you in the morning what is the right way, so you don't have to come to Udon to ask me, yeah? The right way, am I with my Buddha or am I not with my Buddha? That is the right way, then you know it is the right way. Some people, you know, I mean, I know some teachers, you know, teach, you know, just watch the arising and ceasing of thoughts and feelings and everything. And then I tell them, yes, you can watch it until the end of your life and nothing changes. Yeah? You don't get any insight from this. Yeah? The insight you get, you know, by asking the right question. I mean, how often do I have to explain it? Vipassana is concentrating on one object and then asking questions about it. Yeah? Show me this way, or, you know, dissect it. What is the nature of this object? What is the nature of that object? Or what is the body? You know, what are the body parts? You know, show me this. Yeah? That is investigation. Yeah? Okay? Understood?
My question is, it's customary in Japan for the monks to have sex and get married, do you think? That's the idea.
What? Whoa, 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 whoa.
So it's customary in Japan for the monks to have the
connection
of patients and get married and have children. Do you think there's the Dhamma is still in Japan?
Why do you think the Lord Buddha, you know, told us to be celibate?
To watch the kids not come out and
yes. And because raga tanha, sexual desire, is the strongest one, yeah? I mean, what they did, you know, I mean, it's probably because, you know, of their government or something like that, I heard, you know, they had to become married, you know, because, you know, the government didn't allow monks, you know, to be, yeah? I don't know. I think I heard the story, but I can't really remember it. No, it is completely wrong. These people, if they are Buddhist monks, they go to hell. Yeah? Also, you know, if a monk, you know, once in a while, you know, I mean, monks, you know, in Thailand, you know, I mean, the Thai people do look after the monks, that they are correct, yeah? Yeah? So once in a while they catch a monk, you know, under the crematorium together with a woman having sex, they drag him out, you know, take off his robes, you know, and he cannot ordain again, yeah? Yeah? And, you know, if there are some bad behavior that goes against the precepts very strong, you know, they really drag him out and say, you know, you cannot be a monk, yeah? Or they just don't support him anymore, yeah? Yeah? So he goes hungry. You know, when he goes hungry, you know, I'm probably disrobed. You know, that, I like that about Thailand. They really take care of the monk there. Yeah? I mean, in other traditions, it's not like that, yeah? No, I mean, it's completely wrong, yeah? I mean, sexual desire is the strongest desire. I mean, if we cannot cut down, you know, we can never get anagami. Huh? How do you get out, you know? Huh? Anyway, so, other questions? No. Not yet. Yeah. Yeah, what? Catching the feeling that is moving in the body.
The energy.
Energy.
Yeah, it's like some air moving and some
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, as I just told, I mean, as long as you're with the Buddha or with the breath, it's okay, Don't be interested in anything else. Just return, I mean, this, sometimes, I mean, if you have done a lot of yoga or tai chi, in your previous life, this might come up, or some... I mean, people have done a lot of things, in their previous lives, I mean, there are lots of different, different sects, especially in India, who teach different things, I mean, they have this yoga where they, try to get in it. Forget about it. Just know, am I with my Buddha? Am I with my breath? Then I'm on the right path, If I'm interested in something else, I'm deviating from the right path, Okay? But there's one thing that you can do, if you find something, if you find that there are some tensions in the body, just like when investigating pain, then go to the tension and relax the tension, I mean, over the time we get really control of the body, So we can go to these things, and relax them and release also the energy that is stored in there, But first learn how to practice correctly. And then you can use it,
Before I ask the question, so maybe I can ask why you're walking, then I ask this question. In the morning you mentioned about the elements, four elements, I hope don't mind, because I thought that there were at least six elements, space elements and the knowing elements.
What?
Space elements and knowing elements.
Space element and what?
And the knowing element.
The knowing, I didn't talk about knowing element. Space, I talked about some people add space and time element, but there is no space and time element. There are four elements. The Lord Buddha teaches about four elements. Water, air, fire, earth. There's no knowing element because, knowing nature is part of the citta. You understand that? It's not an element. I said, you can dissect, when you're good, when you're really good, you can dissect or you can investigate thoughts and then and it falls apart into these four elements. Everything in this universe, if you investigate it, it can fall apart, you can see it, falling apart into the four elements. Because everything in this universe is created from these four elements. But there is no knowing element, The knowing nature knows that there is an element, What?
Space.
Just talk, it's no space, there is no space and no time element. I know, there are some Buddhist teachers who talk about this, but I've never seen any space element, any time element, because when you go into Apana Samadhi, there is no space and there is no time. When you come back, there's also not yet any space, any time. There are the four elements that form the memory, I mean, if you're long enough in the Apana Samadhi, it happened to me a few times, I mean, I was sitting, and going into Apana Samadhi, I don't know how long, must have been a few hours, Then I came out and I didn't know who I was, where I was, what is happening, And it took, took about four or five or six minutes, until I realized, okay, And then I looked, looked around, and then I realized where I was. So please understand it. The Lord Buddha didn't teach about a time element or space element.
I have a question. So this sensation of thoughts ceasing, what exactly is it supposed to feel like? Because in the afternoon I was very sleepy, but then I sat and then definition of God's mediumship to me, right? So that I know whether I'm closer to that or maybe I just learn how to speak.
I mean, if you, there's one thing, you know, I mean, there's one thing. If you go into Upachara Samadhi, there's nothing that you can do. You just have to wait until you get out. Because there's no volition, there's no intention, yeah, in Upachara Samadhi. If you want to do something in Upachara Samadhi, we have to have the intention before we go and enter Upachara Samadhi. But I don't know if that is your question. So I mean, if you fall asleep, you know, and afterwards you feel peaceful, you know, I mean, that can be because of your sleep. But it can also be, I said it very clearly, if you go into Upachara Samadhi, when you come out, you feel energized. If you feel energized, then you went into Upachara Samadhi. If you feel just, you know, if you went to sleep or half sleep, you know, or dozed off, you know, then you feel a little bit tired afterwards. You might feel peaceful, but you know, you feel tired, yeah? So this is an indication, yeah? Whenever you come out of Upachara Samadhi, you feel energized, yeah? And the mind is really awake, yeah? So whatever you know, whatever you look at, you know, it's much easier to dissect than if you're not, yeah?
So one of the other thoughts that I had was, as before I had this vision for getting, I was watching my breath, and I had a question about knowing the breath when it is long and knowing when it is short.
Yeah.
But actually, so how I do it is that just comparing to the previous breath, is it longer or shorter? Like, actually, how are we supposed to go? What actually are we supposed to do? We just compare to the last breath.
In the beginning, you know, if you don't know what knowing is yet, yeah? I mean, you ask the question, you know, if the breath is long or if the breath is short, yeah? And, I mean, the knowingness comes there, and then you know also the answer, yeah? So you can use it at the beginning, yeah? Is the breath deep or is it shallow? Is it long or is it short, you know? Or is it, yeah? Is it subtle or is it rough, yeah? So in the beginning, in the very beginning, you can ask this question to arouse this knowingness, yeah? But later on you just know. I mean, the knowingness, yeah, comes then out into a thought, yeah? And you can cut off the thought, you know, because you know it is short or it is long or it is in-breath or out-breath. You understand that?
Yeah, but it's quite obvious when it's long and short, right?
So yeah, so you don't have to think about it. I mean, I said, you know, only in the beginning, if you don't know, yeah, to invoke this knowingness, yeah, that is, for most people, it is yeah, tedious, you know, to invoke this knowingness. They just want to stay with breath. Yeah. Not knowing about the quality of the breath, yeah. So asking this question to invoke this knowingness, yeah. Once the knowingness is there, you don't have to ask. Because you already know. Yeah? Okay?
Dhamma Lama said that this world is like a toilet full of shit.
What?
Dhamma Lama said that this world is like a toilet full of feces.
What world is full of shit?
The world.
Dhamma Lama said that this world is like a toilet full of feces.
It is one of his talks.
Yeah?
Then
and where is he wrong?
That's right. Then I read this German philosopher called Martin Schopenhauer. He also came to the same conclusion as Dhamma Lama. But I still feel that I still have after the pleasures of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any tips to strengthen the knowledge that this world is wrong to come?
I mean, it doesn't help you, you know, if you think that the world is a toilet, yeah? I mean, actually, Schopenhauer didn't really come to the conclusion as much as I still recall from reading him, yeah? But, you know, I mean, he got confused with the will. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't take the will away, yeah? And that's why he got crazy, you know? in the end, you know. I mean, he understood everything clearly, you know, up to, you know, I mean, up to greed, hatred, you know, and delusion, you know, but the will, you know, with, yeah? Yeah? That's why the book is called, well, what is it called, you know, I can't even, yeah, doesn't matter, yeah?
But he called it the desire of the will to live.
Yeah, so whatever, yeah? I mean, in German it's a little bit different, yeah? I mean, the will is avicca. Wanting to know, wanting to understand, you know, and that is what, you know, I mean, you cannot grasp this idea, you know, if you don't practice, yeah. Yeah, I mean, go with the pleasures, yeah. I mean, but investigate the pleasure. What is the pleasure, yeah? I mean, he wasn't here, you know, when I talked about these crazy people from the West coming, you know, coming to the beaches, you know, in Thailand, you know, and heating themselves up in the sun, you know, until they can't stand the heat anymore, and then go into the cool water until they can't stand the coldness anymore, and then, you know, they do it all day long, and in the end said, oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
Then just put a bucket of hot coal and ice cold water and then put your hand in, you know, it's the same. Yeah.
Actually, that's what the same conversation of our, you say that every pleasure is negative, you must have a pain before you have the pleasure. So there can be no pleasure without any pain.
He wasn't here, you know. I mean, when did you come in? Yeah? Huh?
I was here.
Today was the first day or something like that, yeah? I said, you know, in German we say, you know, we hit our head against the wall because it's so nice when the pain goes away. Okay, yeah? I mean, understand it, you know, investigate it, you know, what is the pleasure, yeah? The pleasure only comes, you know, when you have displeasure before. It's a change between the pleasure, between the pain and the relief of the pain. Huh? Look at it when you have sex. You heat yourself up, you know, until you can't stand it anymore, you know, until you relieve yourself, and then, ah, that was so nice, yeah? Isn't that true? I did have my fun, you know. I wasn't ordained all my life. Understood? Okay. So one more question. Yeah. Where's the microphone? Yeah. Okay.
For me, follow up on the question in the morning around bringing the bright light into your chitta.
Burning what?
Bringing the bright light.
Oh, yeah.
Into your chitta. I think during one guided meditation, I felt like being swallowed by the light. Is that?
No.
That's not.
No. Yeah. No. Concentrate, you know, in order to be able to bring the light down to you, you have to be concentrating on the light, you know, and the light is in front of you, yeah? Yeah? So you concentrate on the light, you know, and then you slowly move the light, you know, with your concentration, move it down into your heart. But you're not swallowed by the light, yeah? I mean, I don't...
It's not like I was in the
light. What?
It's not like I was in the light, but my heart was reaching, and I was very excited. And
yeah, that if you're very excited, that is certainly not the way. I mean... One part of the Upachara Samadhi, you're absolutely calm, or you're peaceful, or you're still, you know. I mean, the heart is, you know, hardly beating, yeah? And when you're excited, the heart is beating up, yeah? And it's imposed, yeah? If you're full of lust, the heart is beating up. If you're full of anger, the heart is beating up, yeah? So where's the difference? That's what we need to investigate, yeah? Where's the difference between lust and anger, yeah? Look at it. Look at your physical heart, you know, when something comes up, when lust or greed comes up, look at the physical heart, you know. What is it? What is actually going on in this body? Yeah? We want to understand, yeah? And then we take the body, you know, we don't look at our smartphone that tells us, you know, all sorts of things, you know. We look in our body, how does this body work? Huh? I mean, there are so many interesting things in that we can investigate once the mind gets calm. Yeah? When I think, you know, when I close my hand and I think I open my hand, nothing happens. I just think. I need to send an intention to the brain, yeah? And then I can know which part of the brain opens the hand. Yeah? The thought itself doesn't do anything. Yeah? But I know where the thought arises, you know, in which part of the brain arises. You can all, you know, I mean, there's so much to investigate, yeah? How these things working, yeah? How this body is working, yeah? But we are not interested. We want to use it, yeah? It's just like our car. We are not interested, you know, opening the hood of the car and see how the engine is working or how this is working or that is working. We just want to use it. Whoosh, yeah? Huh? No? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Why is Avicca stuck in this predicament or the paradox of always wanting to know, feeling compelled to know,
yeah,
and feeling that he knows everything but really doesn't know anything?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? I mean, you have to ask Avicca. I don't know. It's a phenomena that is like this, you know, just like, you know, a feeling is like a feeling, you know, it feels like a feeling, you know, thought is a thought, you know, it's a phenomena. I mean, that exists, you know, it has this characteristic, yeah. Why it is, I mean, you don't ask me because I'm not really interested. It's just like, you know, people ask, you know, I mean, I was really wondering why this question has not come up. Why did I come into this mess? Why did I get born, you know? Huh? That is not a question we should ask. Why did I first come into this, you know, into this universe, you know? Huh? No, it's not a question you come ask. Huh? I mean, think about it. Imagine, you know, I always tell this, yeah? Before this question comes, you know, I will already elaborated on it, yeah? When you are, yeah, I mean, you know farmers, or you probably heard of farmers, you know, I mean, when they raise pigs, you know, and cows, you know, the shit goes into a big, big hole, yeah? When you're in this hole, yeah? When you're thrown into this hole, no matter how you're thrown into this hole, yeah? When you're thrown in this hole, and once in a while, you know, I mean, your head goes up, and you feel the fresh air, you know, and then you see somebody else just diving, and then you try to help him up, and while you help him up, you go down, you know, and then you come up again, and once you see somebody walking along, you know, the end of this hole, yeah? And the first question you ask him, how did I get into this hole? Huh? Is that the first question you ask him? Huh? How did I get into this mess? How do I get out of this mess? Yeah? And the Lord Buddha gave us a stick, you know. What shall I do with this stick, you know? Huh? 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 Pull yourself out. Yeah? So this question, the Lord Buddha said, we should not even think, you know, that can really make us crazy. We get in this mess, you know, and the question is, how do we get out of this mess? Yeah? And that is what I was trying to teach you, you know, for the last few days, yeah? How to get out of this mess, yeah? Okay, so? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you have to ask Avicca why it has these characteristics, yeah?
It's a common tactic by the Buddhist masters. They always say, what is the nature of things?
What is the nature?
It's the nature of things. There's no other answer. It's just the way things are.
Yeah, that's why I said it's a phenomenon. Yeah. You can call it, it's the nature of this thing, yeah. I mean, Avicca, when you think about it, Avicca is a mastermind, yeah. Huh? I mean, it has a lot of power to keep us, you know, in this realm of existence, you know, in the samsara, yeah. So, I mean, that's probably why it is, you know. Huh? Constantly, you know, I mean, just look at yourself, you constantly want to know. You ask these questions, yeah? If you don't ask me the questions, you ask Google or Siri this question, yeah? Yeah? What is happening there? Yeah? What is happening there? Why is he acting like this? Why is he acting like that? Yeah? Huh? What makes him different from me? Huh? They are all questions you're wanting to know, wanting to understand, isn't it? Yeah? Okay?
done. So yesterday I tried doing walking meditation without the one eternal living, without looking down. So it's like as though I'm walking normally, just looking straight. So my question is, can we do walking meditation, or can we offer the prayer, or do the Buddha when we walk on the streets? For example, walking with the master, or walking with the attorney, or even maybe talking to someone.
What is exactly the question? I don't.
Can we also the prayer?
Yeah. I mean, on the first day, you know, I explained walking meditation, yeah? How to do proper walking meditation, yeah? I mean, of course you have your Buddha or you have the breath, yeah? But you don't coordinate it with the walking, yeah? You walk normally, you know, I mean, you put your head, you know, 1 meter in front of you, don't look left and don't look right, you know. And you know, you in the beginning you look towards the end and said, this one path I want to be with the Buddha, yeah. Yeah, I mean, people coming in late, you know, I mean, I'm really, you know, I really don't want to explain it over and over and over and the same thing over and over again, yeah.
Yeah, but going down the street.
No. I said, 1 meter down. Maybe I'm talking Denglish or what? German English. So people here don't understand it. 1 meter down. Yeah. I mean, 1 meter up, it is, you know, I mean, you don't know. Yeah. Just walking down, you know, because you need to see, you know, where you're walking. Huh? No? When you look up, you know, you don't see where you're walking, and then you stumble, yeah? No. Okay?
What about if you're talking to someone?
What?
If you're talking to someone,
That is not walking meditation.
No, I mean, this is another side question. If let's say you're talking to someone, can you observe the prayer at the same time or being?
Can you do that? I mean, it would be great to do it, you know, and especially before. I mean, in German we say, you know, and before you open your mouth, turn on your brain. Yeah? I mean, here in Asia, you know, people, you know, start talking, and after they stop talking, they turn on their brain. Yeah. Even in Germany, yeah. Don't worry. Now it is everywhere. You know, it's the same mess all over the world. Yeah, and it's been globalized. Yeah, what?
Yeah.
If you do something, then you're mindful of your activity, yeah? So that means mindfully, you know, the mind is fully with this activity and doesn't think about the activity, yeah? But awareness would be even better, yeah? Because then you see, you know, the thoughts are going out around, you know, when you wash your dishes, you know, I mean, you can be mindful of washing your dishes while the thought is, you know, what am I going to do next, yeah? Or what do I have to do next? Or I have to wash my laundry, then I have to clean this room, you know, then I have to get fudged, yeah? While you do, you know, you think you're doing, yeah? So awareness is probably the best thing, you know? I mean, sati is the best thing, yeah? I mean, if you think about mindfulness, doing just one thing at a time, yeah, without thinking about it, then it's okay, yeah?
So just to clarify, when we're doing something, we should be mindful of what we're doing.
Yeah. 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 Then, yeah. But even with very small tasks, you know, like washing the dishes, put to. Yeah. Or even chopping, you know, chopping the vegetables, put to. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't need to think. Then we can do the Buddha or the breath. So when you do cycling, you know, you can do the Buddha or the breath, yeah? When you do any kind of manual labor, yeah, just like when we sweep, you know, when we sweep in the monastery, you know, sweep the leaves, you know, yeah, we do the buddho or the breath, yeah? Yeah. But if you have to think, you know, in sitting in front of the computer, there is no chance that you can do the buddho or the breath, yeah? Or if you're in the phone, you know, I mean, there's hardly any chance, you know, that you can do the buddho or the breath, yeah? Yeah. That actually was a good question, yeah? Yeah?
Ajahn, this morning you promised the brother sitting in front of you that you could ask him this question.
What?
You promised the brother sitting in front of you that he could ask you a question about the apocalypse.
There is not, I mean, how did he get No, there is no end of the world, yeah? I mean, of course there will be an end of the world, but not in this lifetime. Huh? I mean, what did the Lord... I mean, I told you about, you know, didn't I, about the Lord Buddha, you know? I mean, he said he's the fourth Buddha and there will be another Buddha. Buddha. Yeah. That is something different. It's not apocalypse. The end of the world, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha said, you know, I mean, the end of the world comes after the fifth Buddha. Yeah? Yeah? Then when the sun gets bigger and swallows up the earth, yeah? I mean, are there not other questions, you know? I mean, don't you have any other questions, you know? That is, should be the last question, yeah? Buy tickets?
Five khandhas. Yes, five khandhas. The last khandhas is consciousness.
Yeah.
How can we see consciousness is one self? How would you advise us to practice?
You better practice a lot of sati. Yeah. I mean, I mean, the people are not here. I told you, no? I mean, consciousness, to see consciousness arising and ceasing, you know, it is like, you know, watching in a movie, in an old style movie, you know, the black bar between pictures. So you have to have extreme sati to see it. And the interesting thing is, what happens if there's no consciousness? Yeah? Because the citta is still there. The knowingness that there is consciousness or non-consciousness is still there. Very interesting, yeah? But you have to have extreme sati, you know, and if you don't practice, you know, 18 hours a day, you know, I mean, you will never get there, yeah? But there you can see it, yeah? The arising and ceasing of consciousness. Okay? Everybody is waiting for the prophecies. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
My question is, dear Ajahn, sometimes when I am doing walking meditation, the mind just knows the walking, no other thoughts. Is it okay?
No.
The next part of the question is that
you have to know either the breath, you have to be concentrated, yeah? I mean, you can be concentrated on the breath body, you can be concentrated on one point, you know, around the tip of the nose, or you should be concentrated on the buddho, yeah? But what is the knowing of the walking? What is that? I don't understand that. Yeah? No, it's not correct, yeah?
Sometimes it will return to the breath or buddho. Is it okay?
No. I mean, if the mind does not want to, yeah, want to focus on the breath or on the Buddha, then we have to force it. I mean, that's a whole training, yeah? I mean, otherwise we will never reach, you know, Upachara Samadhi. Upachara Samadhi is concentration. It's more than 50% concentration, yeah? When we are concentrated on the Buddha or on the breath, yeah? And while, you know, while we are concentrated, yeah? I mean, if we are too tired, you know, to concentrate on the breath, or if it is too boring, yeah? I mean, what's the point? You understand? Oh, you understand whoever wrote the question? Huh? I mean, in the morning I explained it, you know. I mean, you know if it is right or if it is wrong. If I'm with the Buddha, then it is right. If I'm with the breath, then it is right. If I'm not with the breath, I'm not, it's not right. It's deviating from the right path, yeah? If I'm not with the Buddha, it's deviating from the right path, yeah? I mean, how can I say it more to make it clear? Huh? And then these questions popping up, yeah, okay. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah, there's.
I was having walking meditation after I found out myself on the Buddha. A thought arises, memories, and then I imagine myself. I'm moving with my brain, then I'm telling to myself, why you keep thinking on those thoughts? That thought doesn't own your mind. Your thoughts does, your mind doesn't own you. And then I keep replaying it on my head, and then it disappears, and I simply turn back to Buddha. So my question is, am I doing the right practice for asana meditation?
Not really. Yeah. Any question that we start with why leads to thinking. Yeah? Whenever you see a thought, what you can say or what you can put a label on in the beginning is anicca, anatta, that, or it's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself, and then return back to the Buddha, or return back to the breath, yeah? I mean, what really, you know, if you really get into meditation, what is really interesting, yeah? I mean, the moment you can a little bit concentrate. I mean, you see a train of thought, maybe it's 20 thoughts, you know, and then, you know, I mean, your sati becomes better, you know, then the train of thoughts is just 15 thoughts, then it is 10 thoughts, then it's 5 thoughts, then it's 4 thoughts, then it's 3 thoughts, then it's 2 thoughts, then it's 1 thought, then it's a half a thought, then it's a quarter of a thought, and then it's the intention to think. Yeah? That's when your sati is good, yeah? When you see the intention before actually the thought develops, and then you can say, I don't want to think. Yeah. Then it's very easy. But to stop a train of thought is difficult. Yeah. But you can cut down on it once you see it, you know, okay, cut. Yeah. And then, you know, then you cut it, and then you cut it again and again, and it becomes less and less and less. Yeah. And then you see half a thought, and you say, no, I don't want to think. Yeah. Boom, cut. Yeah. And then you see the intention of the thought. Oh, quite interesting, yeah? Because it doesn't give you the thought. It just tells you in which direction the thought is going. There's so many things you can... the world is so interesting. I mean, just close your eyes and it's so interesting, yeah? Okay? Understood? Calm down.
Is it okay if speak softly, buddha, as you walk?
Speak softly?
Is it okay to call like buddha, as you walk? Is it okay or does it be silent?
It should be silent, you know, but, you know, I mean, if it helps you in the first few hours, you know, then, you know, I mean, speak it softly, but, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are, you know, we can use in the beginning a lot of crutches, you know, I mean, until we get to that, you know, but the aim should be, you know, I mean, the silent Buddha, yeah, or the breath, yeah, or put with breathing in and do with breathing out, yeah. No. Why should be?
Because in the sensual pleasure is one of five differences. So
don't worry about the sensual pleasure, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're eating.
No, I'm also I actually asked this question, so therefore just drinking water, having a cup of coffee is actually.
I mean, if you have a cup of coffee, you know, be careful about the taste. Be aware of the taste of the coffee. And be aware of what the coffee does to your body. That is a training, you know. Huh? I mean, of course we have desire, yeah. But what you're trying to do is, you know, cutting the desire, you know, but you cannot cut it. You have to investigate the desire. In order to investigate the desire, I mean, you have to follow the desire and see to what it leads you. Huh? Oh.
I mean, because to me, I feel that drinking a cup of coffee after lunch, it actually helps in digestion.
Yeah, so. I mean, it helps me, you know, if I have a cigarette after lunch. This is digestion. So, what is the problem? There's no problem. I mean, don't try to mentally to cut down on the desire. Investigate every kind of desire. Yeah? If I eat this, what is the reaction of my body? What is the reaction of my stomach? If you think, and in the beginning we can be wrong, if you think that is wholesome, then go and do it again. But each time you investigate it, yeah? Until you see certain kinds of food, you know, create a lot of turmoil, and then you don't eat it anymore. Even if you like the taste. Yeah? But if you don't investigate it to cut it off, you still don't know, you know, if it is wholesome. Because everybody of us, you know, is different. Some people need this, other people need that. Yeah? And this is something that we have to investigate. Yeah? You understand? You don't have to ask the question, you know? There are a lot of prophecies, yeah? But I only, yeah? Now listen very carefully, you know, with these prophecies, you know, that might sound a little bit terrible, yeah? I mean, they are not intended to create fear, they are intended to create motivation for us to practice, yeah? And the more we practice, the better we can handle these things that are going to happen. You understand that, yeah? It's not, you know, just for showcasing, yeah? It is for inducing, you know, inducing a motivation, you know, to practice, yeah? And it might come, you know, it might come in the this year or next year or in a few years' time, yeah? But it certainly will come, you know, I mean, I personally know that I will be still alive when it comes, so I mean, it must come in the next few years, yeah? I won't be so much longer alive, yeah? There are a few prophecies, you know. Mostly European prophecies. I know only one Thai prophecy. I don't know anything about what is going to happen to Singapore. Yeah? I mean, there's one prophecy, you know. I mean, he was a clairvoyant, you know, in America called the Sleeping Prophet Edgar Cayce. Yeah, He saw the beginning of the Second World War and the end of the Second World War spot on. He knew on this day it starts, on this day it ends. And he was spot on. He died in between. But he saw a lot of things, a lot of things about Atlantis, the continent of Atlantis, of the people of Atlantis, what they did wrong, what they did good, and so on. So it's all written down, yeah. And, he saw, that the U.S., the East Coast will fall into the sea, the West Coast will fall into the sea, and there will be only a middle part of the U.S., but also that there's some shifting, Alaska will be very warm, so people can be born in Alaska, and can live very easily in Alaska. Other places will be getting very cold, yeah. That is one thing, Europe, Northern Europe will be under the water, yeah. There will be nothing left of England, there will be nothing left of Northern Germany or Holland or things like that, they will be all under the water, yeah. That is one thing. And then there was a German, there are actually quite a few prophecies, yeah, about the 3 days of darkness. Yeah. And that is the one that we should focus on. Yeah. The other things that happened before. So the Third World War will happen before. Yeah. It will only last 3 months because then the 3 days of darkness come. Yeah. And it will start in July, end of July or beginning of August. The time is fixed, yeah, but the year is not fixed. So we don't know which year. So if it is middle of August, we can, okay, next year. Because prophecies, the prophets always say, we cannot fix the time, yeah? Because there are changes, within the global community that can change the timeline, yeah? And we don't know that, yeah? But what we see now is what is going to happen, but we don't know the years, when it is going to happen. But he said, he was a German seer. He said very clearly, yeah? People are talking to their cigarette boxes, and see the pictures of the one that they are talking to, yeah? So he talked about in the 50s, 1950s, about smartphones, yeah? And how long are smartphones now out? Maybe 10 years or 5 years, where you can see the video of the other people you talk to. So that he said that, yeah, at that time it will come, yeah. But, the time can be long, yeah. What is going to happen, there will be World War III, yeah. It won't probably affect us. I don't know about Singapore. I don't know anything about Singapore. It will affect China, yeah. The U.S. is, starting a war with China, yeah? It will affect Russia, yeah? It's already going on. It will affect the Middle East, yeah? Things are already going on, working up. And it will affect Europe and the U.S., of course, yeah? The outcome will, everybody will lose. The U.S. will go down, even China will completely go down, yeah? And Russia, will go down, but that is not the important thing. The important thing is then after the World War starts, then we have to prepare, yeah? There are 3 days of darkness where the whole world is enveloped, into darkness, yeah? It starts and it stops. So it cannot be a volcano eruption, it cannot be anything else than probably a comet, who is kept by the earth and then is going off. And within this time, yeah, the 3 days of darkness, probably 2/3, of the population of this earth will die. Because, when the comet comes, yeah, first of all, it destroys all the satellites, but also the dust of the comet, the moment you breathe it in, you die within 2 or 3 minutes. So you should keep, ne? When you see it's coming, you should keep inside the house, roll down the rollos, have some candles and don't eat any open food, don't drink anything, yeah? Because at the same time, the poles will shift, yeah? After the 3 days of darkness is over, yeah? The sun will come up and everything is normal. You can go out and breathe again, it is over. Yeah. But then, you know, I mean, then for the next 5 years, you know, everything has been destroyed. Your cryptocurrency is gone. Your bank accounts are gone. Because everything is destroyed. So I mean, it will take five to ten years, you know, I mean, to come up to a certain standard, you know, especially, you know, in cities, you know, where you don't produce food, huh? It will be very difficult, yeah. I mean, he described, you know, some situation where the people from Munich, you know, I mean, go onto farm, you know, and try to rob the people off. Yeah? He said, you know, lock your door, really, you know, don't let anybody in, because, I mean, they're just, I mean, when people are hungry, they are very, very brutal. Yeah. So, that's it. Yeah. I mean, you know, just be aware, you know, this is really, you know, for training us, you know, to get to this point, yeah. When the world war starts, you know, then prepare yourself for this, yeah.
My question is based on the desire to survive. So,
yeah, I mean, if you have the karma to survive, you will survive, you know, but the best karma that the best thing that you can do is have sati. Why did I say this in the morning? You know, I mean, if we have sati, we know the way out. If we plan, we go wrong. You understand that? If we try to find a how can I deal with this situation? No, that's not what I'm teaching. I'm teaching to have sati at that moment, then you know what to do. Yeah? I just give you some precautions, you know, within these 3 days of darkness, you don't go out. And you don't breathe in the air, yeah? And you don't drink any open food or open water, yeah? Because there's also some radiation, yeah? I mean, the poles will shift, yeah? I mean, North Pole will be the South Pole and the South Pole will be the North Pole, yeah? And there will be lots of upheaval, yeah? There are probably lots of volcanoes going up, you know, tectonic shift plates, you know, some countries go down underwater, you know? Like in Thailand, the whole of the central plain of Thailand will go underwater, yeah? Yeah? And I guess, you know, that's only what I know from Lumputan, you know, Lumpudun, about, you know, what is going to happen in Thailand. I don't know when it's happened. If it happens directly within these 3 days or only after that, because if the poles shift, you know, there will be a lot of tectonic plate movement, yeah? So we don't know, I really don't know what is going to happen, yeah? I don't know which country. I know only, yeah, that Isan, you know, and Chiang Mai is a safe place. That's what Lumput Doon say, yeah, yeah. He said, you know, all the central plain, you know, in Thailand will go under, you know, and but Isan and, you know, the Park Isan and Chiang Mai is a safe place. And of course the Tibet Mountain is a safe place.
Yeah? Actually, you actually eliminated my first question. I wanted to know whether any part of Myanmar will be...
I have no idea. So probably the ones that are high up in the mountains, yeah? Yeah? Every coastal city will go down. Yeah? Every coastal city will be destroyed.
Yeah? So just to eliminate Ulongtani and Chiang Mai. And higher place.
No, I mean, this is Ubon Ratchathani, you know? I mean, the whole Isan. It's not Ulongtani alone. Yeah, I mean everything that what comes, you know. I mean, you know, Khao Yai, that's where the mountainous region comes. You know, everything in this plain is okay. Yeah, and Chiang Mai is okay. Yeah, so the whole northern part, northeast, you know, northeast and north, you know, will be safe. I don't know about any region, you know. I mean, if you go up, you know, 500 or 600 meters, you know, in Malaysia, you'll probably be safe. Yeah. But I don't know, yeah. I cannot tell you because I have not heard anything, yeah. I know things that are happening in Germany, but, you know, because this year, you know, told very much about Germany, you know, about the World War, you know, and things. But this is not interesting. What is interesting for us are the 3 days of darkness, yeah. The interesting that is happening then, you know, I mean, it really boggles the mind. You know, he says, you know, I mean, the sun will go up in the west and go down in the east. That means, I mean, the rotation of the earth has to stop and spin the other way around, you know. I mean, that that will, you know, I mean, that will cause a lot of troubles. But I don't know. Yeah.
So after the treatment of darkness, it will be difficult to practice.
No, that will be great to practice. You have no smartphone. You have no technical gadgets, yeah? Huh? I mean, you do have to look for food. That will be troublesome. Yeah, people have to look for food. But think about it, you know, two-thirds of the population, you know, is gone. Yeah? So only, you know, one-third has to survive. Yeah? What?
So it's better that we train ourselves to be a self-sufficient Tudor monk.
Sorry? The monks will die the same way. If you clean yourself, I mean, you will die the same way, yeah? I mean, it doesn't say, you know, that monks or lay people will die. It says, you know, I mean, people who are not prepared, yeah? Some monks won't die, you know? Yeah? I mean, I have the premonition that I won't die, you know, I have to go through the hard time, and I saw some things that are not very easy, you know, that are not very easy to survive, yeah. But, you know, I mean, I will survive, yeah. And a few who are with me will also survive, but, you know, I mean, that's all what I saw, yeah. And that's why I was interested in these prophecies, because I saw it, you know, 2011, and I thought, what is going to happen, you know, yeah. And then they looked at the prophecies, yeah. And that's how I know.
And then you have eliminated all my choices. So
yeah?
I have to tie myself to you. Tie myself.
Yeah, yeah, but
wherever,
I don't... I'm very good at hiding. I'm very good at hiding, yeah. But that doesn't mean that you survive.
Yeah. That's why I want to die myself.
That doesn't mean, you know, I mean, people, you know, around me will probably also die, you know. So, I mean, it's not safe, you know. I mean, the whole purpose of saying this is, you know, getting your sati ready for this moment so that you know, that you're not confused by plans, what to do and what not to do, yeah. So, that your sati, when you have sati, you know, you go the right direction. You understand that?
Yeah.
Sati. Development. Yeah? Until the mind becomes completely clear. When the mind gets completely clear, it knows exactly what to do. Every plan of us, you know, I mean, will be screwed, you know, or will, you know, mostly go the wrong way. Yeah? I mean, Lungta Mahabho said it very clearly, yeah? I mean, if we plan something, if we have thoughts about it, if we do something, you know, and don't have sati, you know, things go the wrong way. If we have sati, things go the right way. Understood? That's why I'm telling you this. That's the only reason, yeah? Not to create any kind of fear, yeah? I mean, that's just useless, yeah? I mean, I talked about fear. Fear is useless, yeah? I mean, it doesn't help any situation. It makes us timid, yeah? COVID, timid. I need a shot, yeah? Yeah? It makes us timid, it makes us doing the wrong things, yeah? Instead of standing up and looking, you know, investigating, and doing the right thing, yeah? Okay, understood, huh? What? Yeah, what?
Do you still want to receive
questions? Yeah, one or two, yeah.
One or two. So, any more questions from the ground?
But this topic is closed, yeah? I mean, I said what needed to be said, you know? Huh? Because the topic is closed. There are no more questions. Okay, sir.